I'm Steve Lascalzo, and this is The Way. Welcome to the February 2023 This is the Way podcast Star Wars news update. The Mandalorian is 2 weeks away, and the Bad Batch is past the halfway point. If you haven't started a rewatch, you are running out of time. There are 16 episodes over 2 seasons, more if you count the 3 featuring Din Djarin and the Book of Boba Fett, and even more if you want to watch all of those and be clear on that story being told in those last 3. We're seeing more and more of season 3 trickle out in clips on the internet and through social media, so staying spoiler-free is becoming increasingly difficult. There is one thing that was true of the first 2 seasons and might be true here as well. Most of the clips we see in trailers and social media come from the first half of the season. None from season 1 and 2 have been later than the 6th episode of the season. That means the ending will likely be a mystery. But we have been led to believe by Jon Favreau that season 3 is not going to be the end of the series. At Star Wars Celebration in 2022, Favreau said, "The 4th season will be informed by the first season, possibly only season, of Ahsoka, which comes out later this year."
This is the way.
This is the way. This is the way.
I want to tell people about Star Wars. I want to make Star Wars cookies. I want to make speeches about Star Wars. I want to make ice cubes in the shape of Star Wars characters.
Let's get to it and update you on Star Wars news since the last news update podcast. The Bad Batch Season 2 reached midpoint early in February, and it's on to the second half already. Voice actor Dee Bradley Baker mentioned that a few surprises are still in store for us in the story in the second half. Crosshair's arc is one of the ones that he mentioned. So Rampart is under arrest. He's probably going to be executed, and that'll probably continue the internal struggle that we've been watching Crosshair go through about the ethics of those orders that good soldiers seem to have to follow. He has been following Rampart. I don't think he likes him necessarily, but he's been following those orders. And now he knows, or he hears from his superiors, that those were the wrong ones, right? Even if it's just in an official capacity, the outward public relations standpoint from the Empire, you know, they are saying Rampart did wrong. And he's one of the members of this class of stormtrooper or clone trooper that the Empire now suddenly says is wrong too, because they blindly followed those orders. What will he do with that? I mean, Commander Cody went AWOL, and there are sure to be more clones having conscience crises now that the Stormtrooper Initiative has been put forward by Palpatine. You know, in Obi-Wan Kenobi, the series, we saw at least one of the clone troopers ended up begging on the streets by 9 BBY. None of the Bad Batch has been seen in live action yet. At least, not that I know of, unless somebody was, you know, retconned into being in the background or something. None have been seen later in the timeline than where we're currently at in season 2 of the show. I can only recall Rex showing up in Rebels with Gregor and Wolf. It seems like the show is putting forward Omega as a Force-sensitive clone. Echo and Rex are now off to start or find some rebellion. There is a transition that we know is coming where the ISB is going to become much, much more important in security of the galaxy. I mean, we see that in Andor and in Rebels too. We also know Palpatine is working on cloning. I mean, that's pretty much the MacGuffin of the sequel trilogy. So there's lots of possibilities moving forward for the show. I do have a side note for fans of Kevin Kiner's work on the soundtrack of The Bad Batch. Now, volumes 1 and 2 for season 1, those have been available for quite some time already. But within the past few days, February 17th, I think, Volume 1 of Season 2 was released on all the various streaming services. I checked. Spotify does have the listings up right now. Starting with track 1 is Crab's Attack. That lines up with the opening scene of the season. Track 34 is Where I Fit, which I believe refers to Echo's conversation with Omega in the mid-season finale. There are two more tracks after that. Those are mixes. So 36 tracks in Volume 1. 16 episodes in the season. 8 episodes in the first half. 36 tracks in the soundtrack. Man, if we only had as many episodes as we did tracks on the soundtrack, right? That's no mistake. The Mandalorian is coming. March 1st. It's going to be the top story for the next few months in news, at least. Looking ahead, are we going to get an Ahsoka setup in Season 3? Will there be an end or mid-credit scene like for the Book of Boba Fett? I mean, I guess these are questions to answer in a Mandalorian season preview, but with Ahsoka's ties to Bo-Katan, is Ahsoka going to appear in the middle or the end of the Mandalore story? Not at all. Is she going to stay away since leaning on the help of a Jedi might compromise the power struggle that she was going through? I know, here I started talking about Season 3 of The Mandalorian, and I end up postulating about Ahsoka, but there's not much new to talk about unless we want to start getting into spoiler territory for Season 3, and I don't want to do that. There are new TV spots and videos coming out, and they came out during and soon after the NFL Championship. You know, there's popping up more and more on social media everywhere. None of that matters. I'm going to settle into that first episode like I'm watching a movie. I probably will record a reaction. I did that in the past. I'm really excited to talk about the episodes and the story threads and the possibilities for Star Wars content each week. I know some people, close friends actually, that would prefer just to binge them all at once. I, for one, enjoy the guesswork, the anticipation, you know, that water cooler style discussion that can take place throughout the week. Man, I should have saved this for a preview episode. Season 3 is going to run 8 episodes with what seems to be a finale date of April 19th.
Yeah, good.
The Mandalorian's coming out, and I end up talking about Ahsoka. And now I'm talking about The Acolyte, right? It's showing up more and more in news notes lately, even more than Ahsoka. And Ahsoka comes out well before The Acolyte. One of the notes that I noticed was from StarWarsNews.net's Miguel Fernandez, who managed to find a note on someone in the writer's room that isn't showrunner, director, head writer, executive producer, and, you know, hands everywhere, Leslie Headland. House of the Dragon writer and co-executive producer Charmaine de Great,
nobody here gives their real name,
is apparently part of the Acolyte writing staff. It's really hard to find out who's part of that writer's room. Hot D was a critical rating success, but it's also very much more adult than compared to the Star Wars universe. Yeah, there are some more adult themes in Star Wars, even some of the animated shows, but, well, you know, if you've seen Game of Thrones, you know, these things are miles apart. And what you worked on before doesn't necessarily mean you can't shift gears, move to a more all-audience fare, but she's at least done some science fiction and fantasy, having worked on The 100, and also a supernatural horror show called Chambers. Not my cup of tea, but we'll see if DeGreat's influence stands up to what seems like an iron fist of Headland. Staying with Acolyte, Amandla Stenberg said at Comic-Con last year that they're a huge Star Wars fan, which I love to hear that. Is that they is or they are? I don't really know. Okay, at the time, they said they listens to Star Wars podcast. Okay, so if you're wondering, Stenberg considers themselves non-binary, and it's only because I noticed that I'm using preferred pronouns. I do not agree with that lifestyle choice, but I've got no reason not to respect that choice when referring to the actor, at least until someone indicates to me that I'm doing it wrong, or I must do it, or I'm a bigot. And if that happens, I am going to just refuse and cease to consider anyone else's viewpoints on that subject. We'd love to hear from you, Ms. Stenberg, if you do in fact listen to podcasts about Star Wars and that wasn't a PR pop, and maybe miss is the wrong term there, but I'm trying. Anyway, the news note that I'm speaking of, however, was more about how impressed the actor was with the technical ability and craftsmanship of making a Star Wars show. Stenberg mentioned puppeteers and the costume designers and set builders, as well as the technology. So it's great to hear that it won't all be done through the volume and that there is some practicality. It seems like Lucasfilm is learning what works. It was also noted by Miguel Fernandez in his article that Stenberg wasn't able to be at Sundance for the premiere there of the movie My Animal, which was the reason for the interviews that allowed for Star Wars questions to Stenberg, in which they revealed some of the information. As opposed to how Diego Luna was the head or lead or title character in Andor, but he wasn't in all of the action, Stenberg was unable to get away at all, ostensibly because the actor's in far too many scenes to shoot and then not have on set. The role might be enormous. The character might actually be the Acolyte from the title. There are some other possibilities, of course. Lee Jung-jae of Squid Game will be shooting his parts until April. But unlike Stenberg, his comments about working on the set seem to indicate he thinks South Korean sets are more efficient. I mean, he's probably right, but I gotta wonder, are they as unionized in Korea as they are in America? That might have a lot to do with it. Also part of the cast, though, are Manny Jacinto, Jodie Turner-Smith, Rebecca Henderson, Charlie Burnett, Dean Charles Chapman, Margarita LaViva, and Carrie Ann Moss. Yes, Trinity from, you know, The Matrix.
Since I am the ranking officer on this ship, if you don't like it, I believe you can go to hell. Because you aren't going anywhere else.
Daphne Keene also mentioned shooting until April, just like Lee Jung-jae, and she's part of the cast. And the sets are apparently not too far from London, so it's probable that they'll show up for Star Wars Celebration 2023. That's going to take place April 7th through the 10th at the Excel Center in London. The show is shooting until May, at least according to our reports, and it probably will not debut until 2024, but we may get some news this year at Star Wars Celebration.
Surrender the holocron.
I'll never give it to you!
Okay, gamers, Jedi Fallen Order's sequel has been pushed back, and out of March. Survivor's release date is no longer March 17th. The official press release mentioned bug fixes and polish, which will take 6 more weeks, and they are going to move their release from March to April 28th for Xbox, PS5, and PC. There is gameplay footage of Survivor out there if you want to check out the game, but it's not too different looking from the original, not in graphics or in style. There are some additions like fast travel, rideable creatures, lots of droid enemies. I suppose that that's to address concerns that some people had in the first game with how much wildlife needed to be killed to progress in the game. There are B1, B2, BX, Droidica, IG-100 Magna Guards, Shield Troopers, Dark Trooper Sentries, and KX Security Droids. There's also an IGN article with cinematic director Dori Azari and writer Danny Homan that reveal a Legends alien race is becoming canon with the introduction of the Gendai, or Jendai. It's a tentacled menace that's nearly impossible to kill. Humanoid, I guess. The leader of the group of raiders called Ravis is going to be one of the main antagonists. As with anything introduced from Legends, none of the old stories have to be implemented to make new canon. But anything introduced from here on out will count. It'll be quite interesting to see if the game introduces something we end up seeing later in live action. That's possible because we saw the planet Nur's Fortress Inquisitorius first in Fallen Order before it then appeared in live action on the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. A companion novel, Battle Scars, by Sam Maggs, is going to come out much sooner, March 7th. That novel sets up what has taken place in the interim between Fallen Order and Survivor for Cal and the rest of the group that we saw form in the first game. It may also introduce the story and maybe villains of the new game. Before moving on, there's another game note to share. A new enhanced edition of Tales from the Galaxy's Edge PlayStation VR 2 game releases on February 22nd. From the StarWars.com article about the game, quote, "The enhanced edition has been completely rebuilt for the PSVR 2, taking advantage of the device's hardware capabilities, including eye tracking and foveated rendering, headset feedback, adaptive triggers, and haptic feedback with PSVR 2 sense controllers and dynamic 3D audio, among others." So it's a remastered version of the original 2020 game, but I don't think it's free if you purchase the original. Not even at a discount. I checked and it says it's
$49.99. R2-D2. Chewbacca, Luke, and Princess Leia. They're the Star Wars early bird set of figures.
Collectors. StarWarsNews.net says there's a special edition Star Wars Celebration exclusive Darth Vader figure coming. It says it's a premium 6-inch figure inspired by the design and color palette of the original Star Wars Revenge of the Jedi poster. You know, that was the name of the film almost right up to when it was released. And after that, the name was changed to Return of the Jedi. Not after the release, but after Revenge was decided that, you know, Jedi don't take revenge. Again, it will only be available at Star Wars Celebration, which means it will resell for much more than $34 on the internet soon after. There is a Star Wars The Vintage Collection Darth Vader figure coming this summer that is not Celebration exclusive. It will retail for about $17 at most major retailers, according to the article. It's not as big, coming in at the 3 3/4 size, but it does have both a removable helmet and then the mask, which reveals old Anakin. Also in the Vintage Collection is Return of the Jedi Han Solo, Admiral Piette, an unnamed Wee Kwei, Clone Captain Hauser, and Phase 2 Clone Trooper and Phase 2 Trooper Multipack. Phase 2 is, I guess, how they're referring to post-Order 66 Clone Troopers. There is also a version of the Star Wars The Force Unleashed Galen Merrick, or Starkiller. There's a Black Series Ki-Adi Mundi, an Endor Rebel Trooper with an alternate faceplate, which it's not exactly getting 2-for-1, since you have one figure and two options for looks with the faceplate. There's also a Phase 2 Clone Commander Jesse from the 501st that has a removable helmet and an alternate faceplate. I don't like that trend. Give me two full characters, you know? There's more coming to the Star Wars Retro Collection, including a multicolored limb, the Mandalorian prototype. It's styled after the really old 1970s Kenner figure prototypes that were never intended to be seen by the public. There are some Ravensburger puzzles coming out to complement the Star Wars Villainous Power of the Dark Side board game released last year. 5 new custom puzzles, and each are around $30 before tax, I think, in imagined scenarios like Darth Vader, Kylo Ren, Moff Gideon, Asajj Ventress, and General Grievous. 1,000 pieces each. Said to be coming out this month, but not available when I checked for a point of sale at the time that I recorded the podcast. I'd like to also mention when there's helmets available, I'm going to tell you about it, because even though people with large noggins like me, you know, you probably should not count on being able to fit inside, but it is pretty cool that you get a helmet. You know, I'm the one to mention anything Star Wars is cool if you want to buy it for your kid and play with it yourself, right? This one has a liftable visor. So maybe if you could just barely fit it on, you can lift the visor. I don't know. Star Wars Return of the Jedi Scout Trooper Premium Electronic Helmet. The Scout Trooper from Endor is my favorite style of trooper. I love that look. All right, here are the features. Premium deco, realistic detail, movie-inspired design, and electronic voice distortion so fans and collectors can have their voice sound just like a Scout Trooper.
Freeze! Come on, get up!
All that this summer for the low, low price of $132 before tax. Whew. Oh, and before we move on, I'd like to once again request that Hasbro Pulse give us an action figure version of Captain Carson Teva. Black Series, Retro Style, Vintage Collection, any and all, please. And thank you also to Paul Sun-Hyung Lee for giving us a little bit of a shout-out on his unboxing of Hunter from The Bad Batch. I know it was because we posted, but he still read out our name on the on his stream, and I appreciate that. We didn't super chat or anything. So thank you to Captain Carson Teva for shouting out This Is The Way podcast.
Just one more thing.
We traditionally do Disney Parks news at this point, and there are two experiences at Galaxy's Edge which are reportedly actually cheaper now than when they were first announced. Even though that's only slightly, I think it's worth mentioning in this inflated economy. Savvy's Workshop is now $220, down from $250 to create a lightsaber, and Droid Depot is now around $100 instead of $120 to create your own small-sized astromech. So $30 and $20 against $220 and $100, respectively, that's not a huge savings, but at least they're not getting more expensive. And there aren't reports that the experience we're getting is less than before. Remember, we used to have to mention something about the bags not being free for the or getting bags instead of cases for both of them. And so they were offering less for the same price. Now it sounds at least like they're offering the same for less. So that's a good sign. Yeah, not enough. But at least we're going in the right direction for people who love, you know, Star Wars and also like or love Disney.
I think we can let him off with a warning this time.
Thank you, Captain TV. If you think I've missed something, send email to thisisthewaypodcast@gmail.com. And all our links can be found in one place at linktr.ee/thisisthewaypod. Our Twitter and Instagram links are there, @thisisthewaypod. As well as links to our YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Anchor.fm, Apple Podcast, and Spotify. Thank you so much for joining me for this February 2023 news update. Next up, our Season 3 coverage for The Mandalorian. It's possible I have a guest host by then. I hope I can put out a preview podcast, but one way or another, that first week of March is going to be busy. At the end of March, we'll probably have the second half recap of The Bad Batch Season 2. Maybe a March edition of the news update, though we might just be able to cover all that stuff during the Mandalorian coverage. I would like to keep having separate episodes for the news, but Season 3 of The Mandalorian is going to take us into April, and then we're already thinking of what to do for May the 4th. But until our next episode, I'm your host, Steve Lascazo, and this is The Way. May the Force be with you, always.